Okay, so we're going on to the book of 2 Peter, the epistle of 2 Peter, and he's writing to the same group of people, and you'll hear about that. I'm going to give you a little introduction. So let's just go to the Lord one more time real quick. Lord, help us to understand what you're saying to us through the Apostle Peter. Help us to understand that you have a will for us. You have an agenda for us. And Lord, help us to buy into that. Help us to try to find that agenda. I mean, you'll show it to us if we just ask you. And if we'll follow you, the Holy Spirit will show us. So Lord, help us to do that. But Lord, just make clear tonight when we go through these scriptures the meaning and what you want us to get out of it. Because we won't all get the exact same thing, Lord. You'll speak by your Holy Spirit to each one of us, and you'll give us something. So, Lord, I pray that we're listening, we'll get that something, and we'll act on it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the second letter of Peter was written by the Apostle Peter because some people doubt that it was, even though the first thing it says is, Apostle Peter, I'm writing this letter, right? Well, that's not good enough for some folk. But he wrote the letter. And he wrote it around A.D. 67 to 68. And that's about 3 years after he wrote the book of 1 Peter. Okay? So he wrote it, then he wrote it again. At this time, the leadership of the Roman Empire was in a time of chaos. Nero was the emperor. He was kind of a madman, and things were kind of chaotic. And they were trying to, you know, the Romans had a kind of like a Congress like we have, and they were trying to deal with him, and he was giving them a hard time, and it was a mess. So they were in chaos. And it was near the end of Nero's reign that he wrote this. And Nero's reign ended with his suicide in June of AD 68. He ended up taking his own life. Peter was being held in a Roman prison for his faith, basically for preaching the word. So he was in a Roman prison. It's accepted that Peter's life was ended there in Rome about that same time, probably just before Nero ended his life. And his life ended as he was crucified in an inverted position because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord. So he said, do me upside down. And they did. That's accepted. I guess they don't have hard proof, but that's pretty much the way it's come down. Peter wrote this second letter to the same group of churches as he did in 1 Peter. It's in Asia Minor, what you might consider today modern-day Turkey. All right? And chapter 3 and verse 1 indicates this to be true. He wrote them to give a very strong warning against the dangers of false teachers, whom he was sure would come. Okay? I don't care what organization it is. When you start an organization and a work, it always comes under attack because somebody has, oh, we have a better idea for this. We got a better way to do this, right? That's the way humanity is. And so it's the same thing for our church. You know, a lot of people in the church are not following the Lord. They're following what they want. And so that's a legitimate prayer that they follow the will of the Lord. Amen? Now, Peter warned of the heretical doctrines and immoral lifestyles of these false teachers because they weren't just teaching heresy. They were living immorally and influencing churches to do that. At this time, you know, many cities had temples and they had temple prostitutes and all kinds of stuff like that going on. So it was very involved. So we need to beware of those who teach Christ but live in a wicked lifestyle, right? So we need to take note of how people walk. Not that we're judgmental, but it's an indicator, right? And so we're not doing it to judge them. We're doing it to see if we can actually hang out with them, accept them, follow them, all that kind of thing. Peter does not name particular heresies being promoted, but he strongly implies that any teaching destroying unity of the body, destructive to the teachings of doctrine by the Holy Spirit through the apostles, be seen as heresy. And that's the same today. If we're teaching something that doesn't agree with the Scripture, then there's something wrong there, right? And we got to make sure we get it right. So that would be false teaching of doctrine. Teaching that denies Christ in any way twists the meaning of Scripture and brings faith into question. Even mocking the second coming of Christ is to be considered heresy and shunned, right? You don't want to be involved in that. In the midst of this warning of 2 Peter, he encourages all true believers to be continually developing their Christ-likeness. You see, that's our goal as believers. We want to be like Christ. And so we're constantly working that way. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading us to be that way. So we need to follow Him and make sure we get that. He also writes of the inspiration of the writings of the apostles. So he's going to allude to the fact that his writings should be considered that way, and that other apostles, their writings, be considered as God's word as well. So he's assuring that the believers that all these writings are from God. They're not just musings of a human mind, right? They're given by God through the Holy Spirit. And it results in us having His Word, the Word of God. Peter refers to God's Word as the Word of knowledge. The Word of knowledge throughout this epistle. The best defense to false teaching is to know God's Word, right? If you know God's Word, you're in God's Word, then you recognize it. The Holy Spirit can use it. He'll clue you in right away. And you'll be able to make a defense. All right, so now we're going to get into the actual book of 1 Peter, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to follow the similar format that I've been using, so you have the notes, and we'll talk about it. All right, we'll just start at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see right off the bat, he's telling them, it's me, I'm the one writing this. I'm Simon Peter, I'm writing this. So why they doubt it so much? You know, oh, it's a style, it's this, it's that. The man is telling you he's writing it. So Peter identifies himself as also not just the writer, but also as a believer. I'm one of you guys. I'm a believer in Christ. He is a bondservant. That's what he says. I'm a bondservant, like all believers. His will, here's what that means if you're a bondservant. Your will is controlled by a master, and that master is Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit. That's how you find out His will and follow His will. Amen?
Amen.
So He's controlled by the Spirit of God, just as Jesus gave the Holy Spirit control of His life. You realize that, right? That Jesus gave the Holy Spirit control of His life. As soon as He was baptized, He went out into the desert for the 40 days of testing. What does it say? He was led by the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, you can't be led by someone unless you yield to that leading. So, like Christ, we should yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus gave control to the Holy Spirit of His life leading up to His crucifixion and resurrection. All through that process, He was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Go back and read the Scriptures and you'll see it's how many times it's mentioned that He was led by the Spirit. Yet, unlike us, Peter held a position of authority as an apostle of Christ. Yes, he was a believer, but he had a higher calling, right? God was using him in a special way. Peter has a special relationship to his believing audience. He is a guide. He is a guide, and he has authority. He's a guide who interned with Jesus himself. A guide to his fellow bondservants on the road of sanctification. We're all on that road of sanctification, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Okay? Now, our road of sanctification looks sort of like this. We get saved, we start moving up, and then we run into difficulty, and we kind of playing out. Oh, then we get fired up again, and we start making progress again. Oh, then something happens. We go back down a little bit. So you're up and down, but the trend line should be going up, even though there's ups and downs in it, right? That's usually what it looks like. So don't worry about that. Just keep on keeping on in the faith. Keep your eyes on the Lord. God gives us... Oh, I think I skipped down too far. So He's a guide and a guide to fellow bondservants in the road of sanctification to becoming like Christ. That's what our goal is. Peter is writing to all who have received the precious gift of faith through Christ's work for us. That's how we get saved, through trusting in the work of Christ for us. We can't do anything to get saved, but trust Him. Amen? Amen. All believers from the day of Pentecost and after receive the same faith that the apostles received. You ever give that any thought? Everybody gets saved by faith. They got saved by faith. They had to trust in Christ just like we do. It's the same thing. We receive faith because we cannot gain it. We can't gain faith by our own efforts. And we can't take it by force. We can't force God to give us faith. It's a work of God. God gives us the capacity and power to understand and believe in the work of Christ. He initiates it. And He, you know, it's the Holy Spirit working in us that keeps showing us the way, showing us the way, showing us the way, until we receive the salvation that comes through Christ. All believers are equal in salvation. All believers are equal in salvation. We all get the same salvation. Just like the apostles, they got the same salvation. But they had a higher calling, right? So we all get the same salvation because God imputes, He transfers the righteousness of Christ to each one of us as new believers. There's nothing good in us that God would say, I'm going to save you, I'm going to save you, I'm going to save you. So the rest of you know. It doesn't work that way. It's only through faith in Christ which God helps us get. He gives us that faith. Christ's righteous work saves sinners. It's the only thing that saves sinners. When they receive the capacity from God to understand and accept what Christ did for them, that's when they get saved. I'm going to say that again because I think that was a new way of thinking of it for me. When they receive the capacity from God to understand and accept what Christ did for them, then they get saved. Curtis?
It's true. The Bible says that God draws us, Holy Spirit convicts us, and once we have faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right. And who's the author of the Word of God? Well, the Holy Spirit authored it, right? Okay, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, you know, how often do you think of that? Why do people do the things they do? Lust. Well, what's lust? It's wanting something you don't have. It's having a desire for something beyond your capacity to get it. And if you don't self-control that, the next thing you know, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing to get that. then you're way out there in left field. You got to be careful about that. Grace and peace were common greetings at this time. You meet someone and say, grace and peace to you. However, here, grace and peace are from God and Jesus only. They are the true source and givers of grace and peace. You can't get it anywhere else. You may get something you think is grace and peace, but it's not the real deal. You only get that from God and Christ through Jesus. They are multiplied, grace and peace, they are multiplied by a believer's growing knowledge of God and Jesus. The more you grow in Christ, the more you appreciate that grace and peace. It's not that the grace and peace become greater. They're as great as they can be. But your understanding grows, and that's what becomes greater. And you understand it more and more and more and rely on it and depend on it more and more and more, which results in trusting the Lord more and more and more. All works together. God's divine power. That's the Holy Spirit. God's divine power, the Holy Spirit, gives us everything we need for victory and Christ-likeness. He supplies it. So what should we be doing? Following the Holy Spirit, yielding our will to the Holy Spirit. And listen, He won't mind if you ask Him a question. Is that really you? Is that really you, God? Is that really you, Lord? That's okay. He doesn't mind that. Sometimes you might even have to wait a little bit to get the response. But that's okay. What do you do while you're waiting? You pray. You sing praises. You sing in your heart and mind melodies. You meet with other saints. You pray together. See, waiting is not just like, you know, most people think, well, waiting is you're just hanging around doing nothing. No. You're all busy, active in the Spirit. That's what you're doing. So the Holy Spirit gives us all that, and so we can become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. He even gives us eternal security. We don't have to keep worrying about getting saved. Because if you're always worried about getting saved, you're not going to be able to focus on growing in the Lord. You're going to be stuck at level one. And He wants you to move on from that. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to God's previously given promises that we may live the divine nature. He gave those promises so it's for our benefit to help us live and become more like Christ and grow in Him, right? They're not new promises. They're all in God's Word. He isn't holding back, but we have to give in. We have to give our will in to His to get it all. Hope that's making sense. Okay, so we may live. He gives us those promises so we can grow and live the divine nature, freed from the control of this world's lust. That's what we're trying to break away from, the lust of this world. It's holding us back because, well, we get sidetracked wanting this, wanting that, wanting whatever. My yard is full of junk that sidetracked me. Most of it doesn't even work now. But at the time, it was important and it sidetracked me, right? So I have to keep that in mind. I have to keep my self-control going. I have to keep following the Holy Spirit and responding to Him. So He will open my eyes if I will do that. So we're freed from the control of this world's lust, and we allow more of Christ's grace and peace to take control of our life. That's what happens. As we grow in Christ, we trust Him more, we can access more of His grace and peace because we're changing. He's not changing, we're changing. We're growing. We're accepting more of what He's trying to do in our life. And that causes us to trust Him more. Yes?
It's also what you were talking about, knowledge more so, more knowledge. And that right there, when I'm
That's right. That's right. So if your desire is focused on things of the world, it's not on Him. You're not growing there. You're getting sidetracked here. So you have to keep that focus going, all right? The focus is always on Jesus. Nothing, no other person, no other human. So don't get sidetracked in something like that. That's how these, you know, crazy people get a following, you know, and next thing you know, they're in the jungle somewhere drinking Kool-Aid. Don't get sidetracked like that. It's all about Jesus, nothing about a person, all right? So we're allowing more of Christ's grace and peace. Let us also remember that grace and peace is what? It's the love of Christ. His love, His grace and peace is Him showing us His love. And the more we're in tune with Him and His ways and giving Him our will, the more we're going to feel that love. The more we're going to feel that grace. The more we're going to feel that peace. That allows us to focus on Him and grow even more. It all works together, see? All right, let's go on to verse 5, unless you got any questions. Okay. Verse 5, and I'm going to read down through verse 9. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, He's telling you right there. The more you get into it, the more you grow, the more you accept His will, the more you will be knowledgeable about the Lord and what He wants you to do. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now listen, even if you forget, you're not lost. He doesn't reject you because you forgot. No, it just means the Holy Spirit's now working harder on you because you've forgotten. He's got to bring you back around. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so to live like Christ in spiritual liberty. That's what we're talking about. Living like Christ is spiritual liberty. You're not bound by anything. Focus your spiritual efforts to add these characteristics to your faith. God gives you the faith. But now, you've heard that scripture, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is it. You're saved. God gave you the faith to get saved. Now you want to grow. Here's some things you can work on. Work on these, and you'll get more growth, right? So you add these characteristics to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You're trying to add those things. Now you can't focus on all of them at once, right? So choose one and try to focus on that. And when you've made some progress, move on to another one. And let the Holy Spirit lead you, right? So you may have gifts in some of these areas. Because the Holy Spirit gives gifts, spiritual gifts, you might have some gifts in these areas. So if you find out, well, I'm pretty good at that already. Okay, then. Move on to another one. Okay? You don't have to focus on something you're already doing, right? So, when a believer overflows with these, they are producing the life of Christ. It's just like what Frank and Frank, that famous Shady Hills law firm, did this afternoon for that lady. They're overflowing with the love of Christ. They couldn't just drive on. They had to stop and go back. And you know what? I'm glad they were riding together. Because you don't know how many times I wanted to do that same thing. But if it's a lady by herself and I'm by myself, I can't do that. So I'm glad you were together so you could do it. Praise God. You'll start overflowing with these gifts, these characteristics. And don't forget the fruit of the Spirit. That will be in there too. That'll be in the mix as well. So when you start overflowing, then you'll know you're making progress. I'm making progress. The Holy Spirit will let you know. He will.
It's also John 15. These are the fruits of the Spirit he's talking about. And John 15 says that we abide in his love by obeying and producing these fruits of ourselves. I believe when we obey it by love more and more.
Yes.
More.
Absolutely. Because the closer you're getting to Christ's likeness, the further you're moving away from the world and its lust. And so it has less and less and less hold on you until finally you're freed. You don't worry about it anymore. Unproductive believers. There are unproductive believers, right? There just are, right? They're kind of stuck. So we should be praying for them and encouraging them and walking beside them to get them unstuck. And it could be a hard, long road. Get help, all right? Go to the Lord. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to your brothers and sisters. Unproductive believers are not experiencing the liberty of Christ. They're still stuck in the lust of the world. They need to come out of that. It's not an easy thing to do. Probably every one of us is still struggling with something along that line. It doesn't have to be something horrible, but just something that drags us away from Christ. I can name you mine right now, but I'm not going to do it. Unproductive believers are not experiencing the liberty, the confidence and security of their cleansing from sin. They're not thinking about, oh, I'm freed from sin. Now I've been cleansed. I can do all these other things through Christ who strengthens me. No, they're still stuck because they've forgotten that they're cleansed. They're clean. And when they're stuck like that, it negates them being able to abound in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to abound in Christ every moment of every day when you start getting better and better. Okay? It's just like Frank and Frank. Today they were abounding in Christ, but they don't do that every day. Maybe they don't get the opportunity every day. If they got the opportunity, they might do it every day. But every time you get the opportunity, abound in Christ. Enjoy that feeling. Enjoy that experience. Because that's what makes you want to go on and do it again. Randy, first time you led somebody to the Lord, how'd you feel?
Terrific.
What do you want to do?
Win another one.
There you go, see? Success makes you want to have more success. So that's why you want to do it and enjoy it and keep moving, okay? Then he says, verse 5. Did I read verse 5 through 9? Did I read that already?
Yeah, we did that. We're on verse 10 now.
Getting too excited. All right, verse 10. Therefore, because of this, that's what that therefore means. Because of this, because of what I just told you, because of this, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's that talking about? It's talking about moving from this level to the next level, the actual kingdom. Now, you're part of the kingdom now because you got saved, but you're not in the kingdom, literally, physically. You're spiritually in it now. Okay? So he's saying this. Look at your fruit production. You want to know how you're doing? Look at your fruit production. Jim and Bobby were talking about growing gardens and everything. How do you know if your garden's doing good? You go out there and look at it. And if you got stuff popping up, hey, got success. And it's the same with your spiritual life. Look at what you're producing and see if you're making progress. The believer adding the virtues of verses 5 and 6 to their Christian walk shows security and surety in Christ, producing fruit, encouraging both believers and non-believers to grow in Christ, walking the walk. So when you're producing fruit, you're an encouragement. And you're an encouragement, you're encouraging both non-believers who right now they're not focused on the Lord. A lot of them don't even care. They don't really want anything to do with it. But you still have the assignment to help them understand and get the focus, right? Just because they don't want to doesn't mean, okay, it's okay. Jesus will understand if you just give up on them. No, he doesn't want you to just give up on them. He wants you to keep on keeping on, okay? So you're going to be an encouragement to them and to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're going to see the activity that you're creating. And they're going to want to know how you're doing that. Well, we're telling you how to do it. Get closer to the Lord. Be like Jesus, right? Okay. So, additionally, you're building hope for the full reward Christ has for you and others when they arrive home to Him. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the crowns? Yeah, right? There's five crowns. Well, will everybody get all five crowns? Probably not. But if you want the full load, you've got to do these things to get closer to that. You see, you're not working for your salvation. You're working to be more like Jesus and bear more fruit and win more crowns. So you're working, but it's not for salvation. You're working for His glory. You're not even working for your own glory. When you do these things, you won't come in here and say, wow, I saved five people this week. No, you didn't. More accurately, you told five people about Jesus and the Holy Spirit saved them. But you can't even say that, right? And you and I both know, you know this, I don't have to even say it probably. When you're like that, you won't be close. You won't be getting close, right? Because you haven't gotten over yourself yet, right? You're too into yourself. You got to be humble. You know that. So you're looking at your fruit production to see if you're getting closer to being like Jesus, and you're helping other people get closer too. And by doing that, He is willing to reward you when you get there. Because you already know you're going to get there. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're there. But if you want more than that, then you're going to do things that will bring glory to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says in verse 12 and following, "For this reason I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." The present truth is you're saved. If you've accepted Christ, made that confession of faith, you're saved. You're living in that truth, right? And also in that truth is this, that you are in the liberty of Christ. You're no longer bound by the world. You're living the laws of Christ. What are the laws of Christ? There's two of them.
Love.
Yes. Love Him with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we're not throwing out the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying that, okay? Those help us get along with people around us, right? But if you focus on the two laws that Jesus spoke about, you'll get closer and closer and closer to being like Him. Amen?
Amen.
So, that's what Peter is talking about. Don't forget this fact. You are in the liberty of Christ. You are not bound. Can you love people as much as you want? There's no law against that, is there? Can you help people as much as you want? No law against that, is there? In fact, all of the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says you can do all those things as much as you want, anytime you want. There's no law against it. Do those things. Use that liberty. Now, Peter, because he is about to die, wants us all to continually remind each other about that fact. He's reminding us so we can remind everybody else. That's what he wants. That's part of your duty as a believer, to remind one another that we're in the law of liberty. We can do good as much as we want. And the Lord will love it. Okay? Our liberty in Christ is to give loving care to others. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the kind of love he's talking about. It's loving care. The kind of loving care that you won't get anything back, probably. You'll help them and they'll go on their merry way. But you, in helping them, helped him. Isn't that what he said? You gave a cup of cold water in my name. You gave it to me. Because you followed that law of loving others like you'd love yourself. Amen? That's what you're doing. Verse 14, Peter's death is imminent. He knows he's under death sentence. And it's not going to be long because things are going crazy in Rome. And he's going to die just as Christ prophesied. You remember what Christ said? One of these days you're going to be carried where you don't want to be carried. You're going to be dressed by somebody else. You won't be doing it. And you're going to be carried somewhere where you don't want to go by somebody else. That's what he's talking about. You don't have a choice. Peter commits to recording what the Holy Spirit gives him, just as he knows the writings of the other apostles are being recorded. That's what he's talking about in verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder. Here it is. The Holy Spirit wrote it down. So we would always have that reminder. So Peter's word was good. We have it. Verse 16 through 18. He says this, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Remember when He's up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And He kind of lost His focus there for a minute and said, "Hey, how about if we build booths for all of you?" No, that's not it. It's not about the other two. It's about My Son. Okay? Forget about the booths. And the other time was at His baptism when the Father spoke after He came out of the water. "This is My beloved Son, whom I will please." Peter was there for that stuff. You were given the Word of God by the Holy Spirit speaking through us. That's what he's saying. We didn't make this stuff up. This came from God. So listen to it. Take it in. It's from God, not men. You get that a lot today. People say, well, it's all about that Bible. That's just some writing. Somebody wrote it. No, not just somebody. God wrote it. And Peter says, we testified of the Lord's power and work at Calvary, which we personally witnessed. Trust the word you were given. We were there and heard the glory he received, spoken by Father God, who called Jesus his son, in whom he was well pleased. There's more testimony about the truth of who Jesus is, given by God. Okay. Verse 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Wow.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Men didn't make this up. Curtis, you got something?
I got a question. Verse 19.
Verse which?
Verse 19.
Okay.
That sounds like rapture.
Sounds like what?
That sounds like a rapture.
No, it's not a rapture. It's Peter telling them that this is confirmation of what the prophets said in the past. Jesus, God testifying of Jesus that this is my son. He's the fulfillment of all those prophecies. Well, the morning star could be a reference to Jesus, but that would be a reference to the light and life of Jesus coming alive in your heart, in your body, in your mind. You're receiving the light, the morning star. Okay? What do they call that? A simile? You language arts majors. These true and actual events concerning Jesus confirm God's words of prophecy given before the arrival of Christ. Hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah, the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. They're all being confirmed, have been confirmed at this point. And how do we know it was all true? He rose from the grave. If he had done anything that wasn't right, he would not have come out of the tomb. Let alone, as Randy says, God's word says it. Trust it. You should heed these words as a torch ignited in a dark place that gives hope until light arrives in your heart. Remember this, God gave the prophetic word for everybody, not just a few. Listen, God's word didn't come because men made it up. Didn't work that way. Oh no. The true prophets spoke when the Holy Spirit gave them utterance of God's word to speak God's will. Here's what I'm saying. God told them what his will was going to be. I'm going to bring my son, a Messiah, into the world. He's going to be your sacrifice. That's my will. I'm telling you that. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to worry about how you're going to get saved. How are you going to be redeemed? This is how, I'm telling you. And that was all confirmed in the life of Christ. Remember, this is something I'm adding as a, prologue. But you need to remember that the Holy Spirit through Peter is writing God's word to give the saints, that's us, encouragement and stamina to stay faithful in Christ. We're going to face some hard things. They face some hard things. We need that encouragement to stay faithful. Heretical false teachers promoting immorality by all kinds of teachings and by their lifestyles were sure to come. Did it happen? Did they come? Just look at the church today. Look. Think of all the various and sundry groups of so-called believers that exist today. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. These are the basics of our faith. All the other stuff is just add-ons by humanity. Stick to those basics. Keep your eye on Christ. These are the things we need to teach and hang on to. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And nothing else. Hang on to it. I hope you've been encouraged to hang on to it. Get close to Him. Make a commitment that you're going to exhibit these characteristics of Christ. You're going to try to produce the fruits of the Spirit. It's not going to happen unless you make a commitment. Because if you're wishy-washy about it, it won't happen. Just being real.
Walk in the Spirit.
That's right. Walking in the Spirit is more than just showing up at church every week. Although I'm glad you show up every week. But go on to the next level, all right?
You can show up and not be here.
That's right. Absolutely. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray it's been an encouragement. It's been a motivation. I know it's motivated me, Lord, and I pray it motivated many in here, if not all. Lord, help us to make that commitment to give our will to You so that we can grow closer to You, be more like You, and show more of Your love so that people experience Your grace and peace. Because, Lord, You know they need it. You know they need it. We know it too, Lord, so help us to be faithful in doing Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.